Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate. Now listen to this.
Culture Vulture, checking us out on Soma Time on a Wednesday night from hell here in beautiful downtown Larchmont, New York. Lightning hitting Yankee Stadium just a couple of miles south of here as we zoom in on a Eco Eve here. Getting ready for the, thank you, John. We get ready for the Equinox coming up at 11:09 p.m. Goodbye to the rancid summer. The summer of recovery, Obama promised us. The summer of love and affection and BP oil spills and humidity and oppression. And it's coming back. Three more days of this crap. I can't sweat anymore. Oh, I can't. It's like I went outside before to go get my snackaroo, and it's like a pea soup again. And then the lightning, and then the rain, and then I think the building got hit. The phone was down. Oh, yeah, this is my karma. You know, nice lightning storm. Oh, time to get on the phone for an hour and a half. So if you hear a thud during the broadcast, that's my body hitting the ground for the final time. So welcome to the show. Phone number to call in to interrupt my monologue is 4847. It's been the same number for 3 years. I never remember it. I would love to hear another voice but my own screaming in my head, because I have been working probably on the order of about 22 of the last 26 hours getting ready for the cocoa. Da-na-na. It's coming, baby. October 2nd and 3rd, and 20 lucky sapiens out there can join me and the band of gypsies that are assembling down there. If you can go complete a little form over at somaspace.org, just click on the icon for the cocoa and scroll down, and there's a little vignette there that says if you want to attend, you can certainly do that. And let me get the actual link, because you guys are kind of slow on the uptake. Yeah, you're kind of a bunch of dumbasses, actually. You don't do anything. Yeah, my audience is very stupid. I'm insulting the audience. Don Rickles did it for years. He made a lot of money. Let's see. The actual link is go2010coco.html. So it's somaspace.org/go2010coco, C-O-C-O.html. So 20 of you, if you can, get your fingers out of the cookie jar long enough, you can join me and the band
of gypsies over there at Bridgeport in a week and a half. All day Saturday, half day Sunday, and we have a lineup that I am just, I'm amazed. You know, I've been pushing this rock for about 8 weeks now, and there's nothing more rejecting professionally, nothing more kind of, you know, emasculating emotionally than when you make an offer to promote somebody else's work at your own time and energy and expense, and they give you the talk to the hand. And, you know, we've kind of vented a couple times out here, you know, Dan Goldman, and a bunch of other ones, Dan Siegel, who couldn't even bother to call me, couldn't even bother to reject me personally. And then you get Alexander Riftein, big Russian researcher, amazing man. And he calls me up today from Brooklyn, and he is into it. He's coming up there lock, stock, and barrel, like Costanza going to both Boca Vista. Lock, stock, and barrel. He's going to be there all weekend demonstrating his very, very advanced heart rate variability biofeedback machine called the Nerve Express. You can go to nerveexpress.com, a little commercial for Riftein. He's an amazing, amazing guy. And he's going to just get his car and drive up there. And he's going to do live demonstrations of his stuff. To me, that's amazing. You understand the diva mentality in alternative and progressive and natural health care. Every one of them thinks that they are the Messiah. You got to understand that. Whether it's Dr. Oz or that Chachuch, Dr. Phil, or any of these other windbags. And Dr. Oz is a surgeon. But the thing is that at a certain point, you know, they start crapping ice cream. You can't talk to them. It happens to the best of us. You know, but Peter Diadamo, he of the blood type diet, he's a busy man. Busy, 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 busy man. Texts me this morning on the Facebook, I don't know, crack of dawn. I was still here typing away like a little electric monk that I am. And I think he put together like something like 160 PowerPoint slides for some presentation. Had the time to tell me, you know what, Flippy? You're bugging me, but I'm coming down there Sunday, and I'm going to close this puppy for you. I'm going to bring down the house and do like a 15, 20-minute presentation on his epigenetics and the coherence of not just the genes, but the memes and everything in betweens. So Diadamo's coming. Tonight, on this very broadcast, you will hear an interview I did with Tom Myers, Anatomy Trains. These are all stars of the woo, and they're very, very serious cookies. They ain't playing around. They have solutions. Stuff that Obama and the head up their ass health people over there in Washington, who can give a rat's patootie if any of us can breathe air tomorrow, I'll tell you the truth, because they're still sitting there watching idly by as the vaccine parade goes on and all the other, you know, things that are going on around it. It's just all about money. Come on. Come on, just get over yourselves already. The phoniness of this stuff. I'm doing this 19 years at the bottom of Whoville here. First of all, I'm a chiropractor, so automatically you got to muzzle me. Then I'm a weird chiropractor, so even the chiropractors don't want to go flipping. And then I get into some things like somatics, and the somatic people go, So no matter where I sit, I'm like Schwarzbrock. I can't get any love. But when I get outside of all that ego crap and outside of all that, you know, let's just see who could piss farther and really help people. It's all I've been trying to do for 19 years is help you guys get out of your own way so I can get out of my own way and have some fun. I want to have some freaking fun before this is all over, you know? But no, I got to deal with... Come on, Batman. Look at this.
You filthy criminals.
That's right. I got to deal with the CDC. I got to deal with this. All right. Now, first story from California Watch. In advance of health care reform law, now this is the thing kicking in tomorrow, the insurance companies are denying policies tailored to kids. You know, they're thinking on their feet over there. You're sitting on a round table over there at Aetna, Cigna, or one of your other rat bastards. Come on, call in tonight. I want to hear you. Lightning out. Come on. Now, this is a story from today by Christina Jouette, and the story reads as follows. Rather than implement a major portion of the federal health reform, several big health insurance companies are saying they will no longer cover ailing children meant to benefit under the new law. how they do this crap.
Part of the law kicks in tomorrow, mandating insurers to cover children even if they have pre-existing conditions like asthma or diabetes when they seek coverage. In response, several insurers have taken a defiant stance, saying they will simply stop offering policies tailored to kids. We no longer serve children. It's like a pizza parlor. We no longer serve slices. They're going all Domino's on you. All right? The reason is financial. This is a story from Politico. Anthem, I guess that's an insurance company, announced Friday, will no longer write child-only policies after Thursday, citing the unlevel competitive environment created by the law. Aetna plans to leave the market in 26 states and the District of Columbia as of October 1st, and several other states later this fall. Cigna, Humana, and several Blue Cross Blue Shield companies have already stopped writing the policies. We'd love to stay in the market, sends G. William Hoagland, Vice President of Public Policy at Cigna. But you can't have guaranteed issue for this population and be the only one out there. You can't make it work financially. They're getting mandated customers, and they're running away from it because they don't really want to cover this crap. The news disheartens Kelly Hardy, Associate Director of Children Now, an Oakland-based child advocate group. It's really disturbing that insurers can't figure out how to offer child-only plans and stay at the negotiating table instead of abandoning the children. Tuesday press conference, she noted this. And let's see what this last little quote is. At a time when we are launching a national approach to ensure all children have access to health care, again, access to what? The third leading cause of death, of course. Anthem's actions represent a step backwards. By threatening to drop child-only policies in California, the company jeopardizes the health of families and children. Other aspects of health reform are set to take effect tomorrow, such as the mandate that insurers extend policies to young adults up to 26 years of age, and to end the practice of rescinding policies to sick patients. The Kaiser Family Foundation released a lively and informative video that breaks down how the sprawling health reform is meant to work. The California consumer group Health Access checked in with a PDF on Tuesday, and the newest impacts of health care reform and the health-related bills burning a hole on the governor's desk. And so, you know, everybody's bitching. The insurance companies don't want to cover it. The child advocates think that they're being abandoned. It's the full moon of abandonment, actually, tomorrow. So there you go. But it doesn't end there. No, 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 because at 9:12 on a Wednesday night, it is time for a little swine flu news.
Son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was
going to
say,
son of a
bitch, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought you were there, Borky. But from the Australian, posted today, $65 million of swine flu vaccines may be destroyed. Oh, boy. Federal health officials have revealed only half the government stockpile of vaccine is being used as just one dose and not two, as immunization experts have advised, were required as protection against potentially deadly pandemic H1N1 swine flu. This is nuts. The health department has tried donating the surplus flu vaccines to needy countries. Remember, we talked about last week that 43% of them went to Africa before the expiration date, but no nation wanted them. Liberal Senator Chris Bach yesterday called for more transparency in the department's secret dealings with CSL, the nation's biggest pharmaceutical manufacturer. Senator Bach, a member of the Senate's Community Affairs Committee, said it would be sensible to test the stockpile to determine if the shelf life could be extended. Oh, I'm sure they'll put good stuff in it to keep it the shelf life there. He said it was unreasonable for the department to grant commercial in-confidence status for the $130 million swine flu vaccine contract. See, this is just moving the money around. Ugh. You have a commercial in-confidence classification, you've got an intense competition, and there's practically only one manufacturer in Australia. This is all Australia, dudes. This ain't even here. Freaking kangaroo land. And they're still burning a hole in their pocket. Ugh, I can't look at this crap anymore. How do you buy into this system? Well, remember, a couple weeks ago we reported that some other countries were contending, the CDC was denying, the Center for Disease Cheerleading, come get me, was denying that the swine flu vaccines were causing any problems. No, there's no reports. Nothing. Well, head on out to Utah, sapiens. Salt Lake City, dateline yesterday. H1N1 swine flu is being linked to neurological disorders in children. by a new study done in Utah. Doctors at the Primary Children's Medical Center and the University of Utah decided to study the differences between swine flu and seasonal flu in kids. What they found is encephalopathy, swollen, itchy brain, is worse with H1N1. That's a general term. It includes everything from confusion to a comatose state. H1N1 and seasonal flu are both linked to epilepsy in certain children. Tremendous. Doctors say the best defense is being immunized. Bullshit. Oh, sorry. This year, both strains of the flu are included in one vaccine. That's right, two toxins in one. Doctors recommended it for kids 6 months and older. So those first 6 months, you skate, because they're really pumping you full of every other vaccine. And the study is in Tuesday's Annals of Neurology. Not anals, Annals of Neurology. So there you go. Don't go to Utah if you got a kid over 6 months of age. So there you go. We have covered the new sports and weather time for a little...
Whoop, whoop! You know what I'm saying? Then you got the flows. They didn't trip off the flow masses.
That decoration, man. Yeah. Just the decoration.
All right. So that was simple decoration, man. In case you haven't noticed it, the world is on fire over the firestorm, I guess you want to call it. I'll call it a firestorm for the fire. In the sports world, because in the last couple of days, we've had just an incredible amount of things happening all over the damn place. Michael Vick, the dog killer, is now the quarterback of the Eagles. Let's just go down the list here. Joe Torre is very sorry that he lobbied for Jerry Manuel's job and then decided to retire. George Steinbrenner is still dead. Let's see, what else happened? Oh, yes. Remember the Jets last week? We talked about the Mexican reporter thing. You know, they were throwing the ball around and the cute little girl. And well, that was nothing. This week we topped it. Braylon Edwards, woo! Eco at large. Pulled over, 5:30 in the morning, blew a 1-6. Back to practice. No problem. No problem. The same guy who, of course, was involved in five or six other incidences and when he was in Cleveland, beautiful downtown Cleveland, and this might violate his parole. We don't know. And Mr. K-Rod, he of the beating up the father-in-law of the Mets, back in court today. Another eco, getting his karma. I'm not even sure what happened with that. Let me double-check. I can't keep track of these guys. It's just craziness. But, you know, this is why, when I get into the nuances of some of these TMZ sports things, it gets a little nuts. He violated the restraining order, you know, texting the girlfriend for his baby mama, which I love that term. I love that term. There's your mama, and then there's your baby mama. So I don't know what happened today with him, but let's see. There's just a lot of weirdness going on with that whole relationship. But anyway, he was back in court today. A whole bunch of charges based on him violating the court order. And posted some bail. Had a hearing today in and out of court. $7,500 bail. Had that in the shoe. And left bail. Left the courthouse. Posted bail. And, you know, and of course, under the radar, a good friend, Lawrence Taylor, his trial is moving forward. So if you just track the courtroom, the playing field, and Washington, D.C., the corruption just keeps flowing on. But as long as the games are on, as long as, everybody's happy, we just keep going along. There's really not much to say about some of this stuff. Yeah, Lindsay, I can go there. Let's go there for a minute because she was in the news again. And the reason why I'm making these examples is because... you know, we forget, I mean, maybe me more than most people forget, that we're in a drug culture. This is what we live in. We live in a culture that is soaked solid of drugs, whether it's sugar, whatever it is. And we're all kind of pickled. We're all kind of pickled anyway on the stress of just being around all these people, really. So let's see. Lindsay might be going back to jail on Friday, determined she violated her probation. So as K-Rod is leaving the courthouse and Braylon Edwards is getting ready for the Dolphin game, here we go, loop-de-loo, another eco, three ecos, tres ecos. She has to appear on court on Friday, determined if she violated the parole. Probation violation scheduled for then. Could be remanded directly to custody. Remember, she went from jail to rehab to the street. Now he's going back to jail. Lindsay was arraigned on a bail until the probation hearing failed the drug test. How could you possibly get... Well, this is what addiction is, guys. You know, people look for rational behavior from people that aren't able to do that, and that's why the Braylon Edwards thing, you know, can make you crazy, because the NFL goes out of its way while they're selling all kinds of beer at 90% markup, according to the Pope, Mike Francesa, to protect these athletes from themselves. You know, we had a suicide with the Denver player a couple days ago. You know, there's so many reports about what's happening with concussions this year. We're now actually seeing damage to the brain at early ages. So, you know, we're starting to get a closer and closer picture of just how out of freaking control the world is around us. Forget the war. Forget the little book about the war with Obama's little wars. The inner war, the spiritual war, the one that's breaking us down and making us very, really kind of inhumane to ourselves and other people is all around us. That's what social media really is. It's like that dirty fishbowl. And you're just looking around, and you're looking around, and it's getting cloudier and cloudier. So what can we do about all this? I mean, sometimes I get on here, I'm kind of in a hopeless mood, because I just see it, you know, as something that is systemic. When you're in a drug culture and you reward people for behaving these ways, and you give them all kinds of money up front, and then they go screw it up, and then they get a second chance, and a third chance, but the rest of us get nothing. The rest of us get the shaft. If anybody else on that team, you know, had that happen to them, you know, they would be off the team. But because he's Braylon Edwards, he gets to sit out a couple of series. He's going in the corner with a little dunce cap on and back on the field. So there's always that rule. There's always that. Well, come on. People play favorites in almost every industry. It never fails. Pretty girl always gets away with more, right? The powerful guy gets away with more. This is the way the world is. It's our concrete jungle. It's that bias. We live in it. We're kind of used to it. But we shouldn't be resigned to some of these things. And that's why, you know, when I see these stories, Bristol Palin dancing around, I mean, it's all there for the same reason. The same damn reason. To distract us from what we really are. Because if we ever stopped and got quiet enough, we would look around at this stuff and it would just completely dissipate. It wouldn't have the pull it does over us. And I think the reason why is because we're not somatically aware. We're indifferent. The only time we really feel three-dimensionally alive is when we're in pain. Emotional, physical, relationships, financial stress, you know, court cases like that. That's the only time we really kind of go, wow, I'm in my life. And because there's so many transitions and so many things that happen at once, you kind of get lost in the energy of the drama. You don't get the catharsis. You just go from drama to drama to drama. Drama, 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 chameleon. It comes and goes. So, you know, I got this, conference together here over in Bridgeport. More so for my own reasons, more so because I really just wanted to hang out with a bunch of people that agreed with me, at least on some level, about one thing. Because the healthcare stuff, as you see, the insurance companies don't care about you, right? They're not interested in anything else but profits. The government is all about getting reelected and controlling things, you know, on a central level and not really sharing any of that power with you or empowering you at all. You know, they placate you. Oh, we're going to help the middle class. I've, you know, I've been waiting my whole life. The middle class gets nothing. You know, we get exactly what we deserve, pounded like whack-a-moles, because we're chachuches. We actually think the people that have the power and have the influence care. No, 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 no. Again, drug culture. It's Daffy Duck. My mind, down, 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 my mind. That's all we get. So stop appealing to that. You know what? I got to play a little Steinbrenner here and see if I can fish him out of the fryer. Dead bastard.
Anyway, as I was lying in the puddle, I think I may have found a way for us to get Bonds and Griffey, and we wouldn't have to give up that much.
Well, don't tell it to me, George. Tell it to the new assistant of the general manager.
I didn't get the job.
Well, once you were dead, we couldn't just sit on our hands. We got to make a move. But you still have your old job. Of course, we'll have to dock you for the time you missed. We're running the ball club here. If I give special treatment to you, everyone will want it. Next thing you know, it's chaos. And I can tell you this. Chaos does not work for the New York Yankees. Not as long as I'm running the show.
They should have played that on the scoreboard when they were out there genuflecting to this absolute capitalist pig, Mr. Benevolence, ruler of the world. I mean, come on, Steinbrenner. Yeah, he made a lot of millionaires and stuff, but he also demeaned and belittled and bullied people his, most of his adult life. He swindled CBS out of that team. He was a consummate American with Mr. Olympics. I tell you what, as a Met fan, you say to yourself, why can't there be my team over there? Why can't my team have an owner like that? Because I got two owners that I swear to God, I would stick them on the 7-train tracks if I could and let every Met fan ride the 7-train over their bodies because they what they have done to torture our souls for the last 30 years, that Wilpon family. Absolute incompetent bastards. And we're stuck with them. Like the Dolans with the Rangers and the Knicks, this is my team's. What am I going to do? I'm stuck with the Giants, who are starting to resemble, you know, the Yankees in their hubris. And you see a couple of leaks coming out of that camp with Brandon Jacobs chucking his helmet in the stand. Like I said, drug culture, man. Everybody's souped up. Everybody is in a state of what they call die tension, a split attention. You feel separate. If you feel separate from your surroundings, you're not somatically aware. All right, everybody, a little exercise before I play this interview. I want you to grab a object of your choice. Could be the TV clicker. Could be a gun. Doesn't matter. Could be just a little pen. Hold it in your non-dominant hand and place it about a foot in front of your fat face. Got it? Good. Now, look at the object. See? You're separate. It's you and the object. Separate. Split attention. Die attention. Now, sapiens, roll your tongue on the roof of your mouth so the bottom of your tongue is on the roof of your mouth. Then breathe through your nose. Just keep looking at the object. After about 3 or 4 of those, you'll notice you feel your hand and the object. You don't see anymore. You feel. You're not looking. You're sensing. And you are now being with the object. Your attention is cyclical and back and forth. And the energy is moving rather than just projecting and bouncing off the walls. That is called co-tension, coupled attention, which is my segue to coherence. And that's what I'll be talking about at the Coco, and hopefully before the full moon rises, which is at 9:18 tomorrow morning on the East Coast, I will have revamped the entire homepage of somerspace.org so you guys can learn about how I get that sense of coherence on a daily basis using my magical 4 domains. The magically delicious. All right? So that's my little exercise there. If you can get to the point where you can use your eyes the way you use your hands. You can touch things visually. You can receive things visually, pictures, and let that tension fill your body and symmetrically distribute itself. Then when you look at yourself in the mirror, you'll realize that that reflection and you are the same. Self and surroundings, not self or surroundings. Coherence is and, incoherence is or. We live in the world of or. The inclusive or. So we're always afraid of the boogeyman out there. That's why we need the vaccines and the drugs and the crazy culture and Lindsay Lohan's life and Twitter and all those things that technologically substitute for what we already are designed to be, which is one, but we're not the same. I'm turning to the bottom. Anyway, I guess it's time for a little musical break, and then we will be back. And we will play the interview we did with our friend Tom. I think comfortably none would do it. Let's see. Yeah, all right. Give you a little of this. around summertime. This is Dr. Mark. And, again, if you guys want to chat, you guys want to hop in and interact with me while the interview's playing, I will open the chat room right now. I'm sure nobody would want to join me there and engage me where the dark, dirty people go when they want to just, you know, chastise me for my venom. But I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll keep the room open. If you have any comments, any questions, anything going on, it's about a half-hour interview we did with Tom Myers about coherence and about his applications of it. He, again, of theanatomytrains.com, .net, all the other dots, great book. A different way of looking at the body. We're always taught, you know, the gym dandy, head, shoulders, knees and toes, all the body parts. We're not taught to think of the body as an integrated whole. He opened the interview with a great line about seeing the body, you know, artistically, seeing the body as being composed and being integrated. And it's just a great take on things. I think he's one of the few that kind of walks the walk, talks the talk. And he's been out there about 30 years doing his stuff. I think he's unbelievable. So without further ado, a little half hour with me and Tom Myers, and I'll be back to close up shop, take a look around at what's going on out there, and release you to your own recognizance. I'll be right back. Now enjoy Tom Myers. Okay, so joining us here, an early morning call from the West Coast. We have with us Tom Myers from Anatomy Trains, I guess it's .com, .net, and .everything else. So welcome to the air, Tom, and how you doing out there today? Tom? Hang on a second. Okay, without further ado, joining us from an early morning West Coast trip, we have Tom Myers from AnatomyTrains.net, .com. I think it's got all the dots covered. How you doing out there on the left coast this morning, Tom?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Hello to you and all of our listeners.
Yeah, wherever they may be, right? So thanks for joining me here today, because we're going to cover a couple things that maybe nooks and crannies we wouldn't get to otherwise. Of course, you know, now... After a lot of intersecting and intermeeting brains, the Coherence Conference is coming up in about a week and a half. And what we want to get from you, because you're sort of an icon in the world of bodywork and all the other disciplines that attach to it, is a working definition of the concept of coherence. I know you're a tensegrity guy. You go back to Bucky, and you go back to those, you know, much more sort of structural definitions of it. But on a functional level, when you look at a client and when you're working and teaching, what context does coherence come up for you? How do you define it as a walking around definition?
Well, when you first approached me about this idea of coherence, I did what I always do, which is to look it up in the dictionary. And the dictionary definition of coherence is to stick together. It's the idea of glue comes up. And I think when people are looking at the body... If we're not going to look at it the way, well, let me start here. If you start out with Grandpa's premises, you're going to end up with Grandpa's conclusions. So if we're going to reach different conclusions about the body and different conclusions about healthcare, then we have to start with different premises. So if you look at it medically, you're going to see a whole bunch of biochemistry or the cellular interactions. So I want to step back and look at it artistically. If you look at the body, it's a medium. If you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a body worker, you're going to be a movement specialist or any of these things, you're an artist and you're working in a medium. So if we look at the medium of the body, a great deal of it is, in fact, glue. What coheres us? I'm just talking on the most physical level here. What coheres us, what holds us together, is glue. And it's in the body, it's collagen is the most predominant fiber. It's stronger than steel, but it has a lot of gluey aspects to it. And that is at the hard end of the spectrum that runs over towards very soft glue, which is very much like mucus, which is mucus, mucopolysaccharide. And these mucopolysaccharides that hang out with the collagen around each and every cell are, in fact, the glue that holds us together and is, in fact, a colloid like Jell-O. And things like Jell-O or cornstarch have very interesting properties when you start to look at when you introduce frequencies into them. So every time we intervene with somebody, you know, you put chemistry into them, that's a frequency. You put homeopathy into them, that's a frequency. You put bodywork into them, that's a frequency. And it's going to interact with the frequencies that are working in the cells themselves. But my own field of expertise is this glue that's around the cells and that sort of provides the environment for every cell to live in. And we have looked at the body biochemically a lot, but we have not looked at the body biomechanically. And so when you ask me about coherence and what holds us together, I would say we ought to be looking at the properties of this glue because it's very, very interesting stuff.
Now, how does that – it's a great definition, by the way, because you get a very visceral glue, okay. How does that definition distinguish itself from what, like, James Oshman would talk about with this integrity matrix where – he is going down into the parts and looking at cells and looking at all the interconnections of how, as you say, frequency would basically be traversing in this media called the body. And the other aspect of it, of course, for most people listening is they don't think of their body objectively. They think of their body subjectively in a somatic sense where you're looking at things from within and experiencing things from within. What aspect of coherence in the glue definition would be a mind-body connection or an integrity there so that there's no linguistic separation between the subjective experience of being and the objective experience of interaction?
But there is, so far, a pretty big gulf between the subjective experience of being and the objective experience looking in from the outside because science has really held consciousness outside of its purview until very, very recently. So how we perceive the body is a problem of consciousness, and how we perceive the body from the outside objectively is a process of science or, you know, I'm using science in the big sense here. So how we know ourselves internally is a really big mystery. We presume that it all happens in the nervous system. That's been the presumption. I don't have that same presumption. I don't think that the whole body is conscious, and therefore the fascia is conscious, and the organs are conscious, and, this is not an idea that only I hold. Lots of people hold this idea. But the main scientific idea is that that's all happening in your brain, and we were kind of stuck with a guy named Descartes, who gave us a lot of things like the Cartesian coordinates, but he also gave us the idea of the mind-body split. That the mind is of God and of heaven and of the pure upper realms, and the body is of the lower realms, and is in fact a soft machine, and that's how we think of the body is as a machine. The heart is a pump, and the lungs are bellows, and the brain's a computer, and the liver's a factory. So our image of the body, how we think of ourselves, because there's actually a third thing. You're saying how we feel ourselves subjectively and how we look at ourselves objectively from the outside, but there's a third thing, which is how we think other people look at us.
The map of the map.
And the way we think of ourselves, the way we think other people think of ourselves provides a kind of map for our own internal feeling as well. It certainly creates a lot of uncoherence. What's the opposite of coherence?
Incoherence, decoherence?
Incoherence, yeah, of course. Incoherence. A lot of the incoherence that we experience is the incoherence between our own internal subjective feeling and what we think other people see when they look at us, or what they think we think other people feel when they perceive us. And we start getting a separation between how we feel and how we think we look. And that, to my mind, at least after 30 years of doing therapy with people, is the cause of incoherence again and again and again.
Yeah, that concept got me in a lot of trouble in the chiropractic circles about 10 or 15 years ago because of the fact that if you extend your definition of the glue, as we were talking about before, to the immaterial nature of our design, and you get into things like you're saying, like cultural connections and social roles and misperceptions about what others think of us and all the other things that cause the body to go into incoherence and get out of sync with itself, how would you work in on a bodily level? Because you're dealing a lot with memory, you're dealing a lot with programming, you're dealing a lot with things that are other than conscious, we'll just call it that. How does your work impact that, and how can you relate that to people that are doing talk therapy, group therapy, you know, things that are much more external and more kind of conscious and verbal when you're dealing essentially with a nonverbal, other than conscious milieu?
Well, I'm sorry, but the body really is conscious. So you are dealing with an aspect of consciousness. I could say that the body is the unconscious, and that wouldn't be too far wrong, although I'm not sure that we all define that word the same way. But so when I sit down to work with somebody, I listen to their story, but I don't get involved in their story as a talk therapist would or a group therapist. The stories are interesting, but I'm interested in how that story is writing itself out and playing itself out in the body itself. So the shape of the body, which will carry us back to the tensegrity thing in a minute, but the shape of the body is, the life is written in the shape of the body. If somebody stands up in front of me, I've been doing this long enough now, I can say, okay, you had an injury here, and what happened to you when you were four, and kind of read the body, and there it is, because it's all written into the shape of the body. You just don't see anybody going around with their chest stuck out saying, I'm so depressed.
Right.
If you're depressed, you go into the exhale, and you stay in the exhale. You still breathe, but you breathe down at the exhale end of the realm, and there are people, you can look at it as a talk therapy kind of thing to get at the core, at the story part of that depression. You can look at it as a chemical problem and take SSRI drugs to get at the chemical part of that depression, or you can look at the shape part of that depression, and that's what I'm looking at. I'm not saying that one's better than the other, but I'm saying if you don't look at the shape part, you're really not going to get it out of there. If somebody's still walking around, they can have all the Prozac they want in them, but if they're still walking around with their chest down at the exhale end of the spectrum, they're not getting the oxygen into their body, they're not having the feelings that cohere with a bright and optimistic attitude towards life. There are also people who walk around with their chest stuck out all the time. They never exhale. We haven't invented Prozac for them yet. We haven't invented a drug for them yet, but they're just as sick. So we give them jobs as talk show hosts and car salesmen and politicians. You look at those people; they're all stuck on the inhale end of the spectrum, and they only get their validation from other people, and that's why they're going around looking for your vote or looking for the next TV show or whatever, sell you a car because they get their validation from the outside. So these kinds of stories you can get at them from talk therapy, but you can also get at them from the body. So it's really kind of an interesting piece of work. Somebody lies down, I work on their body, they stand up, and they have to figure out what's changed. And often these things have a psychological or psychosocial aspect to them.
Yeah, and again, then talking with Tom Myers here, the concept that you talk about in anatomy trains is, in a broad sense, is called spatial medicine. With most of these experiences happening on somebody's timeline where they're going to go through a series of identifying events and internalizing these things and somewhat repressing them sometimes. When they come up, somatic recall, during the course of a session, how does that definition, again, a coherence, because we're dealing with things that are synchronized, is it in training mechanism, and you get into the brain with the 40 hertz stuff, and what's going to be waking consciousness, what's going to be working memory. As you experience this thing as a whole, are you attempting to put a context to that rhythm so that the person can just tune into just their breathing, as you spoke of before, to get back to that shape where they are in a balanced affect, or are they constantly?
Yeah, we're kind of presuming that somewhere in there is a natural for the person. I'm not sure I want to carry the philosophy of that too far. But the thing that interferes with the natural is that whenever we have an experience that we don't process, either because it's too overwhelming or it's out of our ken or something, when we have an experience that we cannot process, we kind of wrap a piece of consciousness around it and store it somewhere in the body. And when you come across that spot in the body in the course of therapy, that event or that feeling is going to come up. Presumably, the person is in a much better state now to be able to integrate that experience now that they couldn't experience then, And the opposite of integration is isolation. The when these experiences are isolated off from the person, it's like having one shoe nailed to the floor, and you don't even know where the nail is, but you just keep going around in circles. And so you take that nail out, and the person hopefully can reintegrate it. If you're talking about something like sexual abuse, it doesn't go away. It's not like it didn't happen, but you integrate it into your experience, and you say, okay, that happened, but it's not going to run me anymore. And people move on in their lives. And that is a form of coherence, and having one shoe nailed to the floor is a form of incoherence. So we want to have all the experiences that somebody has had out in the open, and we want to have the whole body participating in every movement, in every breath. The more of your body, let me put it this way, because nobody is totally inhabiting their body. We all have places that we're not inhabiting, but the more you're inhabiting the body, the better decisions you're going to make.
Yeah, the old school word with that is you're grounded. There used to be the kind of the little 80s little frisbee they give you. You got to get more grounded.
Yeah.
So I guess my next line of reasoning on that would be, how do you take a culture that's primarily visual at this point, with all the digital, all the media awash in people's heads, and especially developing brains, kids, things like that, they're always, you know, holding the phones and going crazy. How do you make kinesthetic literacy palatable, because it is ordinary, it is basic and foundational, it's not overly stimulating, it's actually quieting when you have a culture that basically is predicated on noise and distraction?
Yep, that's a very good question. The way that I framed that question is, how do you educate a Neolithic body for an electronic world? Our kids mm-hmm. come in with Neolithic bodies. The body hasn't changed a great deal since we were Stone Age in terms of genetics. But we're living in an entirely different environment. And there are lots of, my answer is going to be a little bit helpless and hopeless here, because there are good programs going into schools. You know, I used to stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance when I was a kid, but my daughter, when she went to school, they would turn to their neighbor and ground their neighbor. So they had a lot less ADD and ADHD in their school, because they just would press down on the feet, press down on the knees, press down on the hips, press down on the shoulders, and press down on the head. And that's, you know, that sense of the ground, just a very simple exercise.
That's a great Pledge of Allegiance to me. the Pledge of Allegiance to gravity. That'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly. it's a good line. And you know, there's yoga in schools and things, but the trouble is right now that anything with a physical skill is being taken out of the schools for lack of money or lack of interest. Physical education, yeah. Music, arts, all these things are leaving the schools. But I do, if we're taking the long view here, I do think that this is a transitional time, that the computers have developed visual and auditory quite naturally, faster than they've developed kinesthetic. And the Wii games and the Wii balance board and things, these are very primitive attempts to involve the kinesthetic. But I think the machines are going to learn about us faster than we're going to learn about the machines. And I think that there will be skill games and physical games that will come out of the computer gaming stuff that's going on that will be very involving physically for the kids, and they will rediscover their bodies. I think we're just in a bad transitional time now, where kids are carrying too many books to school and are predominantly visually and auditorily being educated. But I think the physical will come back, and it will come back through the computers. It will come back through the games, through the machines.
Yeah, I think my bridge for that it hasn't always been the inclusion of music and education, because of the fact that it puts them in, like I always say, your ears put you in the middle, your eyes put you at the edge. And the more I see people incorporating music, rhythm, tone, and even, oh, dare I say, intelligence into a kid's education, especially when you're dealing with a kind of a fear-based model, and they, you know, like you said before, they split the mental and the physical education, you know, gym classes over here, and then you sit in the chair, and then that translates to sitting at a desk.
But that's going to be a while, you know, if
yeah.
we're practical, that's going to be a while before that's a whole social revolution that will need to take place. But we're talking 50 to 100 years before the educational system collapses and then gets revamped in a much more intelligent way.
Yeah, guys like us are worm food at that point. Hopefully they're reading our stuff, and we've left something behind for them to learn on. But
well,
I guess just to sum it up for you here, you've done a lot of work in trying to unite disciplines that are like-minded, that have a similar, you know, sort of take on things. What do you see as a major stumbling block going forward as the healthcare industry is reforming and things are becoming, to me, even more allopathic, even more categorized, even more pathologically sort of everything's becoming a spectrum and a syndrome. How do we make it simple? How do we make it basically a distinction or a spectrum of coherence where we're dealing with people that are coming into integration rather than always going out?
Well, if you want my, I have been working in the way that you say, and if you want my honest opinion, I'm going to Chinese philosophy and say that the very strong yang changes to yin. And our medical care system, it's not really a healthcare system, it's a sick care system.
Because
they don't care if you're healthy, they only care if you're sick, and the sicker you are, the more they care, and the more expensive it is. It's just absolutely upside down. And I do believe that it's going to have to collapse first because, you know, we tried to get healthcare reform this past year, and you can see how ineffective that was. We didn't even get healthcare payment reform, let alone healthcare reform.
Right.
So the system is going to go along for a while, and you know, I work with people who work within that system. My own feeling is working within that system is handcuffing yourself to the railing of the Titanic. And that the system is going down, and that we will build something much better from the phoenix will rise from the ashes, and it'll be much better. Every individual person that I meet in the healthcare system is a dedicated person. I'm not trying to make there's nobody evil in there, but the system itself is just so oriented towards people being sicker and sicker, and there is no motivation within the system that we set up in the U.S. anyway towards prevention at all. There's no money for it. There's no interest in it because there's no money for it. And this is a really bad situation for our young people and our old people too. But I think that once this system, you know, collapses under its own weight, that something very good will arise from the ashes, and we will have a healthcare system, and the three legs of that stool will be clear communication, what psychology is talking about, being very clear in your communication, but we'll teach kids that preventively rather than putting them in therapy retroactively, and nutrition and movement. Those are the three legs of the stool, clear communication, good nutrition, and good movement, and once we have an educational system that's doing that, we'll have to have a lot smaller healthcare system because we won't be having all the healthcare problems that we're seeing now.
Well, hopefully we live to see, you know, some of those things get put together, and I think, like I said, creating a platform where the topic is coherent, and how do we get to it, how do we facilitate it, how do we encourage it individually, collectively, and within these interdisciplinary communities, I see that as sort of a, I don't know, I'll call it an olive branch, but it's the stick that can kind of pull you out of the out of the quicksand because
there's a lot of good work going. There's a lot of good work going on in various parts of the society, and mm-hmm. You know we hope that it will overcome the negative stuff. But the power of the weight of the negative stuff is large. We didn't get to tensegrity, and I just want to urge your listeners to
yes.
to Jim Oshman because his stuff on cellular tensegrity in terms of coherence and how this whole spatial medicine things works will be very interesting. So I hope your listeners will catch his presentation in your conference.
Yeah, it's posted on the site. People can check it out at somaspace.org and click on the links for the COCO and the videos are there. And Jim put together a wonderful PowerPoint presentation about the origins of the coherence all the way up to and including stuff that he's covered in his books, and which, of course, you know, definitely grazes your world over there. So I guess to close it up, what is the number one misconception people have about the human body, anatomy, physiology, whatever it is, that you, Tom Myers, can clear up for them right now?
The body is not a machine. The heart, that's a very limited concept of the body. The body is more like a thought than a machine, and it was created as a whole, and it lives as a whole. There are no parts. There's nothing like a deltoid or a femur or a lung that's separate from anything else. It's grown from a seed like a plant, and you are one coherent whole, whether you know it or not.
Well, if people just listen to that last little, 30-second clip, I think what we said in the first 30 minutes might actually stick, and there's your glue.
Then there's the glue.
Yeah. All right, guys, stay put for 1 second. I'll be right back, and you guys just keep listening to more Soma Time.
All right. So
So there you go. Me and Tom hanging in the hizzah of Soma Space. That guy, it was early in the morning in San Diego, and he was just, you imagine rolling a bed and just pull that out of your head like that. I mean, the guy knows his stuff. He lives his stuff. He breathes his stuff. But he also has, you know, the scars. Anyone that takes that path, that holistic path, that one that says, I'm going to do it, you know, from the core to the shore. I'm not going to go for the superficial hit. I'm not going to take the easy, ground apples here. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to go and you know, find out what I'm made of in there. And this guy, you know, it's funny. To study life, he studied dead bodies. He, you know, did dissections and teased this stuff out because he had a working hypothesis that said, like you said, the body's not a machine. That the glue, the fascia, it's like salsa, fascia, is really where we're living. It's the emotional web that is connected to everything, the nerves, the muscles, the organs, everything, that tissue, all of it. And, you know, that's what coherence is about. It's about that solidness, not this fabricated HDTV digital this, that, no. That cleans it up. There's no noise. If you have no noise, you have no surroundings. You just have a signal, a broadcast. So, all right, speaking of that, we're going to go live to Florida for some reason. As the Mets are going to go down like asshats, 7-5, they're already eliminated, but it's just one more loss to the Marlins, just one more little loss. I know. And then we're going to play a couple of clips from the Coco videos to get you guys a little flavor of what else is going to be in store for you. And we get to Bridgeport in a week and a half. So. Oh, the Braves actually lost? Wow. Baseball's winding down, folks. The week after the Coco, we get back October 6th, the night of my sister's illustrious birthday. Turn this off for a second. You know, we'll get into a little baseball profiling. And if you haven't checked out the site lately and haven't gone on and follow me on Facebook, we're doing the NFL predictions, the fantasy physiology for all the quarterbacks in the league. There's a lot of changing around. This week, of course, you know, with the Anto full moon passing tomorrow, it'll be Eco Week. 11 Ecos will be starting in the NFL on Sunday. Oh, my God, with the moon mojo. Just watch the bouncing ball on Sunday afternoon. There will be lots of interceptions, fumbles, and trick plays and craziness. Oofa. Oofa, oofa. All right, so I don't know if it's worth sticking around for these two more outs. Let's see. I think what I'll do is, while that's happening, go to the video page and set this up. So we have a lot of people. Let me go back one sec here. And Pagan, ooh, little line drive. Kind of one hopper to second, so there's two out. You know, you're watching them play out the string is what you're doing. So if you go to somaspace.org, click on the Coherence link here for the Coherence conference. Yeah, you can see the lineup as of now. When we start out on Saturday morning, we're going to have Dr. Irvin Dardick from LifeWaves.com, Rick Parr from Springfield College, Carlos Torrey from Yale, myself, yours truly, and Dr. George Muse from University of Bridgeport, the clinic there. And we'll be reviewing some video contributions from Rob Bryanton from Imagining the 10th Dimension, Douglas Rushkoff from Rushkoff.com, big author, lovely, lovely man, and maybe Nick Marks from England, who's got some stuff on quality of life and happiness indexes and stuff like that there. Then we'll take a little lunch break, come back with the science panel, which is going to be absolutely unbelievable. Man, again, Dr. Irv will be there. Alexander Riftine, I mentioned him before. He's a Russian man. Rick will stick around for that. Then we have Carlos Torrey again, and we're going to be reviewing some videos from, Beltran has hit a triple. That was weird. So that's actually the tying run at the plate here. Dave Goodman from Newport Neuroscience. Maybe I'll play his clip. That's kind of a cool clip. Stephen Elliott from Coherence.com. James Oshman, who was mentioned in the interview there with Tom. And tomorrow morning, I get to interview Carl freaking Pribram, Mr. Brain. Hello. So we're going to have that tomorrow. I can't wait. He's my hero.
And then we're going to have the Arts and Applications panel that close up Saturday afternoon. Mark Gross will be joining us. He of the Magic Eye. He's one of the stereograms. He's involved with that. And our guest, Italian Jones. We had the mind control guy. We had him on the air a couple weeks ago. He's going to drive down from Manchester, New Hampshire to join us. Oh, David Wright up here with a chance to tie the game. What's this? Tune in for a second.
Mets are down to their final out. And he hits one to the right side.
Oh, nice catch.
Makes the throw from his knees and the ball game is over.
Look at that.
Comfortable with the bat in his hand or with...
I can't take it. Dan Ugler just made a good defensive play. Just stop the season. And we're going to be reviewing Deb Roseman's video from HeartMath and Eric Leskowitz, The Joy of Sox. We had him on the air a couple times. He made a nice video for us. Actually, I think I'll play his. That's a good one. It's a nice mellow one, a nice eco one as we ease in. I'll play his video, see if you guys dig that. And then we'll be back to close up shop because there's so much on this site. Anyway, go over here, check out the videos, but I'll play Eric's a video for you and see what you think. We just went the little baseball thing. We'll also listen to that. And we'll be back to close it up right after this. Come on, Eric. Uh-oh. Oh, no! It's not playing. Oh, that's not happening. Wow. I got to go back and change that. Sorry, Eric. Okay. Sorry to get you guys all excited about Eric, but... See if I can fish him out of the fryer for you. I can't believe it's not playing. I definitely thought I downloaded the right one. Oh, no. No, no, no. No, no, Felipe. Let's see. I'll fish it out here. 1 second. Boy, I got to go back and check that. It might be my computer. Who knows? But that is weird because it was playing fine. Playing absolutely fine. We've had so many problems with these MOV files. Very strange. But I'll punch them up here on my desktop. I actually just want to hear the whole interview. I'm kind of excited as you guys listening to it. Let's see. We got them. That's the MP4. Let's see if that one plays. Because that should play. I think. All right, let's see. I don't know, there's two MP4s here. Let's see if this one works. Well, one of them's like 5 minutes long, though. That's the point. Maybe that's the problem. I've done this a couple of days. Saturday I went through such a technical torture, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Computer's locking up, file's old, Vakakta. See, this one's not playing either. That must have been the one I uploaded. All right. Back with you. Play the original one. And like I said, I don't know. My computer's so saturated with damage that you could actually have like every geek in the world here, and this thing would figure out a way to outsmart it. Oh, come on. Let's go. Thank you for nothing. Unfreaking believable. Oh, good. My eFax is, I don't know what that's doing. What is that doing? The eFax opened up. Will you please, all I'm trying to do is play the people a little video. It's like talking to a very dumb animal, my computer. I have no love for this thing. I love it all. How did that happen? Maybe that's the one I should have uploaded. I don't know. So, moments away from Eric Leskowitz entertaining us with his tales of... oh, man. Why do I go horrible? Let's see. Here he comes. Okay. I see him. See if we can hear him. And action. All right, well, I'm a cursed man, because now even the old file isn't playing. So, I got a feeling. Let's see, what about this one?
No.
The world does not want to let me share this with you right now, I guess. Let's go back to the site, and we'll have to pick a beeline video. Hopefully something will play. Otherwise, you're going to be left on your own, because I'm really fed up. How about, Well, Stephen Elliott, let's see if that one will play. Yeah, it's definitely the computer. Nothing's playing. Tremendous. Tremendous. Is the volume off? Let's see. This is what I do all day long, folks. So if you're having any kind of sympathy for me at all, you know, no, you probably don't. Freaking full moon. So the computer has decided not to have any sound at all right now. But it played music just fine before. Speakers on, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, volume's on. Volume's on, everything's on. Ooh, wait a minute. That one was down. That's just the balance. CD player. Let's see. Some of these were down.
Hi, I'm Deborah.
Oh, that's Deborah. Let's see if our friend Rick plays now.
I'll start by thanking Mark.
Son of a bitch, it's playing. How the heck does that happen? All right. So without further ado, from the Coco, Rick Leskowitz. Red Sox fan.
Hi. My name is Rick Leskowitz. I'm a psychiatrist at Spalding Rehab Hospital in Boston. And I want to start by thanking Mark for organizing this conference about coherence. I think it's an awesome idea, and an idea whose time has come. What I'd like to contribute today is my work on bringing the concept to a larger audience. I have a longstanding interest in energy medicine. I direct our integrative medicine task force at the hospital, and I spend a lot of time with professionals who are familiar with these concepts, going to such meetings as the ASEP for energy psychology, ICEM, the subtle energy people, noetic sciences. And obviously there's some fabulous research being done, but I don't think it's reaching the largest possible audience. So the project that I've been involved with in the last couple of years involves researching coherence and related consciousness phenomena as it applies to a setting that everybody can relate to, namely professional sports, in particular baseball. I'm from Boston, and as you may be aware, the Red Sox did pretty well in 2004 in a very exciting fashion, won the World Series, and it created a wave of energy that literally swept New England. And it was such a palpable experience that everyone could relate to that I began to think of it as a vehicle to talk about energy phenomena, consciousness phenomena, and processes like coherence. So what I've done as part of an overall development of a documentary film is several research projects that I want to briefly discuss with you now to give you a sense of how this combo has been brought about. The first section I want to talk to you about took place at the Institute of Heart Math in California with Dr. Roland McCrady and his team. It basically involved the idea that heart coherence, which other presenters I know have described, that state of high heart rate variability that indicates mind-body coordination and optimal functioning. Heart coherence extends beyond the body because of the heart's magnetic field and also has the capacity to influence other hearts, other magnetic fields, other nervous systems nearby. I was interested in whether entrainment could occur. So we set up a protocol where I would be the guinea pig. I'm not trained in heart math methodology, but under laboratory conditions, which I illustrate here in my high-tech method of present. There we go. You can see I'm wrong size. I'm the guinea pig. This is trickier than I thought. I'm the guinea pig, and I'm blindfolded and earplugged and connected to the monitor so that my heart rate is being assessed throughout the proceedings. While these, at some point during the process, I was joined by four meditators. They began to meditate after a brief period of establishing baseline function. And this is the result of my monitoring. You can see I'm fairly, what they would call, incoherent initially, a big blip when they entered the room, and then I entered this more sinusoidal pattern of high variability. The bottom monitor shows it more clearly. This is my baseline level of coherence and ratio, as they call it. Not much until they entered the room, and then literally within 20 seconds of them starting their meditation, you could see how my coherence went literally through the roof. The results were published in the Subtle Energy Journal, but the impact is that a group of people focusing on heartfelt emotions like appreciation and joy can entrain other nervous systems to get into that same state of coherence or alignment. The applications are pretty profound because if you can get a group of people in that state, it looks like there's a mechanism now, not necessarily involving quantum entanglement, but just old-fashioned magnetic field resonance to entrain other nervous systems to be in alignment. The practical application of that would be at the ballpark. The ideal scenario would be you'd have the 30,000-40,000 fans doing some pregame heart meditation, setting up their resonant field and directing their intention to their favorite players, their favorite team, and training them to be in the zone. As Dr. McCready has shown, people who are in heart coherence have faster reflexes. He makes a point in our film that a 90-mile-an-hour fastball seems like an 80-mile-an-hour fastball to a batter who's in the zone. So significant applications to baseball. So that's one piece of the in the lab study that we did. We also did some field work using the random number generator methodology that was developed by Princeton and the PEAR Laboratory over the past 30 years. We used an updated version of the software developed by Cygenics Corporation and took it to Fenway Park because it's embedded in a laptop and portable. So the protocol that we used was we set up the laptop underneath one of the seats and just ran it throughout the game. It generates its data file of millions of bits of ones and zeros. Didn't know what the significance of it was. We didn't know how random or non-random the file was. But while the game was going on, I was in the stands taking notes of what I thought were key moments in the game when the fan attention was at its strongest, in jotting down, you know, when a home run was hit or key events like that. And the idea was afterwards we'd collate the two data streams and see if there was any significant overlap that would indicate that the random number generators could measure when the fans were in a coherent state as a whole. So what we got was a lot of squiggles. It was a very complex zigzag over the 2 hours that we analyzed. This is one way of presenting the data, reading from the start to the end of that sequence. The important thing is how often did that randomness rise above two standard deviations. So I tried to illustrate it a little more cleanly by blocking out plus two and minus two standard deviations. And you can see there are a few instances in this two-hour interval where there were peaks above and below. We don't know the significance. The pair people don't know the significance yet of positive and negative. But the really exciting part was that the majority of these, in fact, six of the seven biggest fluctuations occurred at moments when I had independently indicated that a key game event was happening. And two of them were during very obviously coherent moments. You can see here this one occurred when a batter named Manny was at the bat, but when the fans did the wave, which is a group physical, emotional exercise where everybody, it's a visible symbol of entrainment and coherence. That was one of the highest points. And the other high point was, can't get my left-right coordination here, Sweet Caroline. That's the theme song, sort of the Red Sox that played near the end of the game, and the crowd gets into it in a very emotional way. That was the highest deviation that we recorded. The statistics were pretty striking. There were doing chi-square analysis of how many over 2.0 deviations we found compared to what was expected. The odds were 10,000 to 1. against it being just random. And for some of these correlations, also similar high correlational values, music seemed to be the key. That Sweet Caroline, the sing-along, the group sing-along, had a very powerful entrainment effect. The ideal next step, which we haven't been able to do, would be to really track these on a regular basis to see which emotions are engendering the highest levels of coherence. It certainly seems like happiness, joy, appreciation along the lines of heart math is the key. But I think the real importance of the findings is that everybody who's been to a ball game or a concert or a political rally knows what it feels like to be swept up in a group collective energy. So these are some of the first steps that we've been able to develop to do some measurement, to put some rigorous science behind it. That's about all I can say for now, but I would like to end by directing you to, hold still there, to our website, the joyofsocksmovie.com, where there's more information available about the progress of our research. Ideally now, this segment will be followed by a four-minute video that includes our pitch trailer, which is obviously not geared towards the science so much as hooking people into their interests, because that's part of our fundraising efforts, but we hope you enjoy it. So thank you very much for your attention, for your intention, and for your coherence. Bye-bye now.
Okay, Rick DiEcco taking us through there. Amazing stuff. I mean, like I said, we get to the point where we understand the influence of the crowd on performance. It's over. The 4G, all that stuff that's out there, amazing stuff. I'm telling you, these guys are geniuses. Geniuses. And I got them all converging. We got them coming out of the sky, out of the woodwork. And, you know, next week we're definitely going to play back the interview I did with Dr. Pribben tomorrow morning. And we'll have about half a dozen more of these videos posted on the site. Definitely get involved with the COCO, because as this, you know, firestorm I said before, of all the insurance changes and all the allopathic minutiae and all the swine fear and all the garbage, just ignore it. It's noise. The signal is coherence. The process is there. We have it all. We're going to entrain you guys. We're going to take you through it. We're right here live in summer space. I will shed the light, and you will travel light with me. I am the coherence king. I can do anything. So I'm going to wrap up the shoe. Bid you guys adieu, because 11:09, it's eco time, and tomorrow morning, here comes the bad boy. So I will see you guys next Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, right here on Summertime. Thank you for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. Travel light through the darkness.
amphibians play nice.